Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Wednesday to you. And I thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Wednesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to hear the sermon I just preached on this last Sunday. And it's the last one in this series, mini-series, called Tomorrow's Newspaper. We're going to look today at the false prophet. These last sermons have been, we looked at the two witnesses that are going to preach in Jerusalem for 1,260 days. Funny, certainly seems to me like God wants you to know a lot about this. He's even told you how many days these guys are going to preach. That was from a couple weeks ago. Week before last, we looked at the Antichrist. Now here today and tomorrow, we're going to look at the false prophet. So we're going to get right into this. This is a 45-minute sermon. So I just wanted to let you know what you are about to hear and to invite you to church tonight. We'd love to see you at 6 o'clock. We are in chapter 8. I believe we're going to pick it up in chapter 7 or 8 in the book of Acts. 6 o'clock tonight. If you're tuned in here tonight at 5:30, you still have time to come by Island Community Church tonight and take part in our Bible study in the book of Acts. It'll be streamed live as well on Facebook, on the Island Community Church Facebook page. We'd love to see you. This Sunday, my sermon, my special sermon for Mother's Day is how to be a godly mother in an ungodly world. More on that as the weekend draws near. Okay, here today is part one of this message. Tomorrow's newspaper, the false prophet.
We're here. Okay, at tomorrow's newspaper. What a great slide. Thank you. We really should have put tomorrow's date on it, come to think of it, right? Yeah, but it's tomorrow's newspaper. So what good is today's newspaper? She'll get me for that later. Again, we're in this mini-series here called Tomorrow's Newspaper. Now, today is promised the third installment, the false prophet. Who is he? What's his significance? How does he fit into end times? Now, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Also, Matthew 24:24, the Lord said, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." And then he says, "See, I have told you beforehand." Hence the saying here, tomorrow's newspaper. The Lord Jesus has a lot to say about things that are coming up here in the future. Sometimes he said, "It is not for you to know." Other times there's chapter after chapter after chapter. And then when he's done, he says, "You see, I've told you everything in advance. You've got tomorrow's newspaper right here in front of you." Now, that verse we just read sums just about everything up. And the Lord Jesus specifically had the end of the age, or as the King James says, the end of the world in mind when he spoke this. For false Christs, or false messiahs, that's the first half of Revelation chapter 13, and false prophets will rise up. That's the second half. That's where we're going to be here this morning. Will rise up and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That means even the seasoned believer. To deceive you, if it was possible. Meaning that the deception is going to be so mighty and so convincing that even the seasoned believer could be deceived if it was possible. So that rules you out. No one in this church, by golly, is going to be deceived. Not after all the things you have sat under here. If you keep receiving these things that I teach each and every week, you won't be deceived. We don't gloss over these things. We look at them. Paul the Apostle wrote, "For the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders." Think about it. A lying wonder. A lying wonder. And these lying wonders will be carried out by this third person of this unholy Trinity. God the Father has his Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Satan has his Trinity. Satan, Antichrist, false prophet. Not the false teacher, not the false heretic, not the false apostle, but the false prophet. Think about it. He's going to say he is a prophet. He's not a false teacher. He's a false prophet. Revelation. Let me read this verse to you. Just want to show you. It's not me that calls him that. I'm reading to you what the Word of God said. Revelation chapter 19. Notice, again, it uses the code word for Antichrist, but not for the false prophet. It says in Revelation 19:20, it says, "And then the beast was taken." Greek word piazzo means to arrest or to capture. Same word used of Jesus in the garden when he was arrested. Okay? So then the beast... And this is why it's a person and it's not a nation. It's Antichrist is not symbolic of a country. It's a person. You can't arrest a country. Only a person. Okay? Some people, sometimes you'll read things that, oh, there's no such thing as Antichrist. That's just a world system at the end. No, it's not. It's a person. It's a person. So, Revelation 19:20, let me read this verse. "And then the beast," or the Antichrist, "was apprehended, and with him the false prophet who wrought or worked miracles before him, with which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast." You hear what he said? People aren't going to willingly or knowingly take the mark of the beast. People are going to be deceived into taking it. They're going to think that something is something, while something, oh boy, is something else. So what part does he play at the end of the world? He is the one personally responsible for forcing people to take the mark of the beast. Or as I would like to say, and do say, forcing people to obey the government. That's what it's come to now. He's going to force people to obey the government. Or better yet, he causes people to obey the government. A little bit different. It's not you will obey or else. He deceives those. Remember, the Bible says he deceives those that dwell on the earth. He deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. He causes people to obey the government by deceiving them, not willingly, but by deception. Also, he's the one who will deceive everyone into thinking he is legit, especially the Jewish people, hence the name false prophet. For anyone here that has the slightest knowledge of the Word of God, what do you think of when you put the word Jewish prophet and calling fire down out of heaven? What comes to your memory? Elijah. So today's list has got 10 points to it regarding this false prophet. We'll look at all 10 of these as we read these 8 verses In Revelation chapter 13, if you guys would like to turn there, Revelation 13, starting in verse 11. Keep your finger there all day. This is where we're going to be. Literally all day. Anyone busy today? I promise to get you out by 2:30, 3 o'clock. Any complaints? No. Okay. Revelation 13, verse 11. It says, then I saw another beast. Now remember what I said last week and always. Understand the symbols and you'll understand the book. Beast is Antichrist. Lamb is Jesus Christ. Dragon is Satan. When you read these symbols, understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. So verse 11, John speaking, he says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. So he's the servant of God, apparently, on the outside, but evil seed on the inside. So when you see someone with two horns like a lamb but speaks like a dragon, it's a counterfeit Christian, which is point number one on your handout. Counterfeit Christian. Counterfeit Christian. Again, I point you back to the words of Jesus. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Ravenous means what? Stark, staring, hungry, right? What are they hungry for? You. Your soul. They want to prove the devil right. And when he says skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. Also, 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You will know them by their fruit. Hear me now. If you don't know the word of God, your playbook, then you will not recognize the false prophet. If you don't know the word of God, then you won't recognize the false prophet. How well do you know the playbook? I'll use the football term. Here you are. You're in the Super Bowl. It's 4th and 3. You're on the opponent's 35-yard line. Jesus Christ, the head coach, calls an audible from the line of scrimmage. Now, the Holy Bible is your playbook. How well do you know the Christian playbook? Uh-oh. Ruh-roh, Shaggy. How well do you know the playbook? Now, if you're new to the team, or if Jesus traded his blood to obtain you and put you on his team like he does, you can't be thrown off the team. Once he buys you and pays your price and redeems you by his blood, you're now on his team. So if you're new to the team, Jesus won't hold it against you. Just like any new player on a team, the coach will only call a couple of plays, plays that the new player already knows. But the time is going to come where the head coach will expect you to know the playbook, or you'll ride the bench, and the coach will insert somebody more reliable than you, someone professional, someone who's totally committed to the team. Church, don't kid yourself. You are a professional Christian. You're not an amateur. You're not a peewee Christian. There's a lot of peewee Christians out there. You in this church are professional Christians. Like Earl Anthony was a professional bowler. You are professional Christians. God expects you to know his word. And then you won't be deceived. How well do you know the playbook? You'll know the counterfeit by its fruit. Okay. A man appears on the 5 o'clock news and says he's Jesus and that he's returned. The newsman asks him how he got there and when. And the Jesus man says, well, he arrived on the afternoon train and he came in on Amtrak. Now, if you fall for that, all right, I'll hold my tongue. No, I won't. You're a fool. You are a fish-eyed fool, to use an Ann Esther classic. If you fall for that, whereas for the child of God, boop, 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 boop. What's the loss in space? How does it say? Warning, Will Robinson. Or at least it should be that way. It better be that way. And you ought to hear in that still small voice, for false Christs and false prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even you. Especially you. You have a bullseye around you, Christian. Satan already owns everybody else. He owns all those people on TV. You're the ones that have a bull. You have a bullseye around you. And Satan's got a 30-odd six. But God is on your side. No bullet. You are like Superman. No bullet can harm you. Those who don't spend time in the Word of God and who are not intimate with the Lord through spending time with Him and His Word will hear that remark about Amtrak and say, all right, cool. Jesus came back on the 5 o'clock train. Remember, lying wonders. He can say, I came on the 5 o'clock train, and to prove that, I'm going to do what no one's done since Elijah was alive. Watch this. And the man calls fire down out of heaven. Lying wonders. That stuff hasn't been seen in nigh on 3,000 years. James and John wanted to do it. They wanted to wipe out those Samaritans. They said, Lord, how about if we call fire down and burn these suckers up? And he says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. The next one to call fire down, we'll get to that here coming up. Those who know their God, the buzzers and alarms should go off, and you'll hear a still small voice in your spirit that says, behold, he's coming in the clouds. And every eye will see him. Every eye will see him. Or the Holy Spirit might say, see, understand this. The Holy Spirit speaks word. That's his language. He speaks word. Don't know the word? He might as well speak Swahili to you. He'll cut you some slack if you're a new believer. He'll only run a couple of plays by you, like, trust in him, like, he who's begun a good work in you will complete it, or I can do all things, those beginning things that you might know. He'll only throw those things at you while you're a new believer. He's not going to punish you for being a new believer, but the time is going to come where he expects you to know his word. Holy Spirit might say to you, as lightning comes out of the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. If that's not enough, the Holy Spirit might whisper to you, Acts 1:11, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, remember how he left? It said a cloud received him out of their sight. This same Jesus, not another Jesus, the same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go. So, know the word of God, and you won't be deceived. Don't know the word of God? Then let's fix it. That's the answer. Not woe is you, it's let's fix it. Keep coming to this church. Attend all the services here, Sunday and Wednesday. Invest in a great Bible or come see me. I will teach this again and again until you and I become professional Christians. And we know the Word of God. Right? Right? Professional Christians practice the same play more than once. So don't tell me in 2038, oh, you preached that before, back when Eisenhower was president. You're a professional Christian. Professionals know the Word of God. You're fully trained into the Word so that you won't be deceived, and you better not, because Jesus said even the elect would be deceived if it was possible. All right, on to verse 11. Again, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Remember, first beast is Antichrist. Last week I told you this man was going to die. Now look, all the world marvels at him because he had a mortal wound and came back to life. Remember, lying wonders. Lying wonders. Like David Copperfield making an elephant vanish under a sheet. It's a lying wonder. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And there's point number two. Let's just put on point number two. He demands worship. He demands worship. So great to see so many people writing. If you want one of these, I've got one filled out later. If you're not writing and want to copy, I encourage you to write these things down. I believe you're going to see this in your lifetime. But I can take that charge over me. I believe that you guys are going to witness this in your lifetime. And I can stand that charge before God when he says, Esposito, you are charged with preparing my people for my return. I'm guilty. I'm not going to tickle your ears with a bunch of fanciful nonsense. I think Jesus is coming back on my shift. I'm going to be accountable for what I teach you guys. I believe that. If I'm wrong, I can handle that. I'd rather be wrong with teaching the church the Word of God than be wrong by being lazy and complacent and asking for your money and teaching a bunch of nonsense. 87-week series on tithing. 10 years, I've never done that. The false prophet demands worship. Last week, we looked at who the worshipers are. Revelation 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Comma. Thank God for the comma. In case you're still there. In case you're still there. Thank God for the comma. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Comma. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, meaning you guys are going to see it. So point number three, unprecedented deception. P-R-E-C-E-D-E-N-T-E-D. Unprecedented deception. Not since, that's why we did this song here this morning. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds. Not since the days of Elijah has this been done. We read in Luke, again, I quoted it earlier, Luke chapter 9. James and John wanted to call fire down to burn up the Samaritans. Jesus wouldn't let them. This will be a time of unprecedented deception, the likes of which the world has never seen. Verse 14 goes along with this. Let me read to you verse 14 out of my Bible translation. You guys still have this opened up here, right? Revelation 13, 14. I'm going to read to you out of my Bible. It's a majority text. Anyone that has one of the Bibles I gave them, you'll notice a footnote in the margin that's going to read what I'm going to read to you. So don't think I'm making this up to fit my theology. Okay? Verse 14 out of my Bible, John speaking. He deceives my own people.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
From Loveworth Finding Ministries, here's pastor, teacher, and author Dr. Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Billy Graham, years ago, preached a crusade over in London, England, in Haringey Arena. And so many people, many Londoners came to hear Billy Graham. And two men were sitting up in the stands way up there. One man was a physician. And he was sitting by another man, and they were talking about the American evangelist. What his motivation was. Was he a money grabber? Was he a sensationalist? Was it a cult or whatever? They didn't know, but they were discussing him quite critically. But then Billy Graham got up to preach. And you know, Billy Graham has a way of with simplicity but sincerity of saying, the Bible says. He doesn't try to defend it, he just preaches it. And God's Holy Spirit of conviction fell upon that doctor. And that doctor, when they gave the invitation and those many hundreds of people started to come down that aisle, the doctor turned to the stranger who had been sitting beside him. He said, I don't know about you, but I'm going forward to give my heart to Jesus Christ. And the man next to him said, and I'm going with you, and here's your billfold. I'm a pickpocket. That's the power of the Word of God. What a wonderful, wonderful book we have in the Bible.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Trust you.